It's good to see you today. Take your Bibles, please, and let's go to John chapter 14 for our study today as we continue through the book of John. One of the main purposes of John is to teach about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is indeed God, and that there's no question about the deity of Jesus. And so today we look at a couple of things that he talks about. One of them in the beginning is that he is equal with the Father. And then also the comfort in the first few verses of the fact that he's going to return someday. And that ought to comfort our hearts to think about the return of Christ, the rapture. And then later after that, the return when he comes back with his saints. Now let's begin as we look at verses 1 through 6. And this is where Christ is telling us that he's prepared a place for us. He's gone to prepare a place for us in heaven. Look at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now let me just say that the divisions that we have in our Bible were put there by the editors. And sometimes it's unfortunate that they gave us a division when they did. Actually, it flows better as we leave the area where Peter was saying to Christ, I want to go with you. In the last chapter, he was saying, I want to go with you. And I'll go anywhere with you. And Jesus knew that he was going to deny him, actually. He knew that Peter was, he had every intention of doing the right thing. He wanted to do the right thing. He did love the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. He did love him. But Jesus knew what he was going to do. But he was telling Peter, I think, before the time, Peter, I'm going to prepare a place even for you. And for all of the saints of God, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And you can't go with me right now, Peter, as much as you say you'd like to go and you're willing to go. And I know that you're going to deny me three times before that rooster crows. But he said, I want you to know, I'm just telling you right now that I'm going to go from you and I'm going to prepare a place for you and for the others that come. And I think he meant and intended for that to be an encouragement. Now, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. There should not be anything in our lives in view of the fact that we're going to ultimately go to heaven and be with Christ and what we have there that should get us down, that should let our hearts be troubled to the point that we're depressed or it impacts us or it keeps us from functioning as God wants us to function. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, why is that? Well, you believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, we're the same. You've never seen God. And he said, although I've spent 3.5 years with you, about 3.5 years in my public ministry with you, I'm going away, but I want you to still believe in me, believe that I'm there, just like you believe in God, whom you've never seen. God is a spirit. They didn't see God as far as God the Father, but they saw the Son in his body. But you believe in God, believe also in me. Now, what does he say in verse 2? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now keep in mind that in the Old Testament, people went to paradise. You have the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And they were there in Abraham's bosom. There was a great gulf fixed. Well, that's where people went. There was a good side and a bad side. And obviously there was some observation that could be seen. But there was the good side and the bad side. Now, until Christ came and lived his life and was buried, died and was buried and arose, he did not take captivity captive. The Bible says he led captivity captive. Well, that would be those that were there in paradise. They went to paradise, you might say, on credit in the Old Testament. And so when Christ was crucified and arose and he ascended to the right hand of the Father, he led captivity captive. And so he was going there. He had not prepared these mansions as such in the Old Testament era, but he was going there to prepare the mansions now. And so in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you in that place in my Father's house. Now my Father's house, I believe, is talking about heaven. And he's talking about the fact that he was going there and he was going to prepare mansions. He was going to prepare dwelling places for us. I believe beautiful places and wonderful places like the Bible says. There's nothing taught in the Bible about having a little cabin in the corner of Glory Land. Now, we've sung that song, and everybody's patted their foot to it, I guess, and all that. But that's really not scripture. There are no little cabins over in the corner of Glory Land. We all are going to have wonderful places. The word translates into our English mansions. It might not be that strong, but we in the original language, but we do know this. It's going to be marvelous and beautiful and everything we need, everything that we desire. They're going to be beautiful, beautiful places that Jesus has prepared for us, and Jesus is not preparing any junk. Now, we're all, I think, going to go in equally so, and we're going to have mansions, we're going to have these places. Now, when we get into the kingdom of Christ and he's setting up his kingdom, there will be responsibilities and there will be rewards and all of that that will be given at the judgment seat of Christ that will determine some different things in that. But there's no such thing as people who are going to go in and some are going to go in with less love from God or less appreciation or whatever, that they're going to be the spiritual and the unspiritual. Some teach that even the more spiritual people are going to go up in the rapture and the rest are going to have to go up at another time and we're all not. No, we're all going to go up to be in heaven, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but he's going to prepare a place for us, and I'm glad that it is a real place, not some kind of ethereal dream world. We're not going to float around on a cloud playing a golden harp with angel wings. There's nothing like that in the Bible. But he says, in my Father's house in heaven up there, there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I would have told you all about it, Peter. I would let you know that. But I'm telling you, I go to prepare a place for you. And for all believers, we're going to go and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's preparing that place. Now, in the Old Testament, there was that veil. And that veil had to be rent. And the blood had to be applied there on the mercy seat in heaven. And the Lord took care of that, and I'm glad that he did. He enlarges on this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Look at what he says in these verses. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I would not have you to be ignorant. I want you to know the truth. And it's written to save people. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. I don't want you to be ignorant, those of you that are born again, concerning them which are asleep. That is a word used to describe those who die in the Lord Jesus Christ. The body goes back to the grave. The soul and spirit goes on to be with the Lord immediately. But he uses a term. It's a sweet, precious term of endearment. We've gone to sleep in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have died. And he said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those that have died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. he said, I don't want you to misunderstand this thing. This is not the end. This is not the final chapter. This is really the beginning of the eternal chapter. It is not the end. And so don't be depressed and don't be sorrowful like those who have no hope. Now, he did not say, don't be sorrowful. He didn't say, don't weep. He didn't say that it's wrong to cry at a funeral or at a viewing or when you see your loved one, when you're standing at the bed and they pass away. He did not say, don't cry there. Jesus wept. We know that he wept. And he wept because Lazarus died and he was moved with that compassion. And he's understanding, but he says, don't perpetuate it. Don't fail to understand the truth of the whole matter. Don't weep and cry like I'll never see them again. I'll never be with them again. This is it. It's all over. The end and annihilation and cessation of existence. No, not at all. Because he said, I don't want you to be ignorant like others which have no hope. I'd hate to be in that category, wouldn't you? I really would. That's reason number one. We need to get our loved ones saved. And number two, of course, to know for sure that we're saved ourselves. So he says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we do believe that. I believe that, don't you? Amen. Believe he died, believe he rose again. And all Christians, I think, have to believe that. That's part of the gospel. Amen. What is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The fact that he died for our sins and was buried and arose. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's a promise that we have. Christ is first going to come for his saints and then again later with his saints. He cannot come for us and with us at the same time. Any more than you can come for your wife and with your wife at the same time. Christ comes for his bride and then he comes back with his bride. But the thing that he's saying to us is that Christ is going to return. And so I've prepared a place for you. Verse 3, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there someday, Peter, there, believers, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas had a question for him. But Jesus, we know, is going to come again. Verse 3, he declares that to us. Now, the return of Christ, some people say, is when we die and he comes and gets us. That is not the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many, many proof texts to tell us that's not the return of Christ or the second coming of Christ. A lot of people erroneously believe that and teach that. That isn't it. The return of Christ is going to be when we're in the grave already, or we're translated because we're living. He goes on to say, for this we say unto you, 1 Thessalonians, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, that is when Christ returns, the dead in Christ are going to be raised first, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, we're not going to hinder them which are asleep, those that have died in Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Some things that are going to take place when the Lord comes again. And notice what happens. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen? All of our loved ones who've gone on before us, they're going to be raised miraculously, gloriously. Doesn't matter if they were burned to death in a fire in the house and all you have is ashes. Doesn't matter if they're buried at sea. Doesn't matter if they're buried out at one of the cemeteries in the greater Fort Worth area. Wherever it may be, they're going to come out of that grave. God is going to work a miracle. And the glorified body is what they're going to be given. All the elements are there, and we've talked about that before. They're all there. And God will take care of that through his miracle. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds. We'll all go up, meet him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he closes out, wherefore, because that's true, comfort one another with these words. That ought to be comforting to us today. One of these days, the trump's going to sound. I hope I'm alive until that day. I really do. I hope so. From what's going on the world scene right now, I think very well we could be alive when Jesus returns. We're to be looking for him all the time. But if that happens, my mother and my daddy and my brother and my two brothers and my sister who are saved have gone on before me. Thank God they're going to pop out of those graves and go to be with the Lord. Maybe we'll meet each other in the air on the way up. I'll let God take care of the details. I'll be satisfied with whatever it is. But we're going to go and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The dead in Christ are going to rise. I stand occasionally if I go through Rayville, Louisiana. I'll stop if I have time and go by the cemetery and stand at the foot of my mother and daddy and my brother's graves that happen to be side by side there. And I might have a tear in my eyes, but there's the joy of the Lord that comes in my soul. And while I'm standing there, I'm thinking, Lord, this would be a good time right now. If you'd be for it, I'd be for it. But it hadn't happened that way, but I know it's going to happen. And that encourages me. That gives me the joy of the Lord, the peace of knowing that I'm going to see my loved ones. And you know, Carolyn and I have been here over 10 years now. And we were just talking the other day about all the people in that 10 years that have gone on to be with the Lord and how much we miss them. And I could just start naming names right now. And some of you are thinking of someone probably right now or some people. But you know what? One of these days they're going to come out of that grave. And we'll see them. We'll see them again and we'll be with the Lord. Well, there's a lot of good things about heaven. He tells us it's a prepared place, amen? Not going to be any chaos up there. Not only that, it's a perfect place. I wish we had a perfect place down here. We don't have. There are no perfect people, no perfect churches, no perfect society, no perfect anything. The only art that is perfect is math, and you got better work it right or it won't come out right. But thank God heaven is going to be perfect. It's a populated place. We're not going to be alone up there. It's a prosperous place. It's a peaceful place. And you know, the Bible doesn't tell us a lot of details about it. It tells us a lot of what's not going to be there. Revelation 21. There won't be any more tears there. Amen. Won't be any more sorrows. Won't be any more heartaches. Amen. There won't be any more physical pain. Hallelujah. Because I know some of you are in physical pain today. You're here, but you have physical pain. I know you do. I was getting a shot of steroids. Can you tell yet? Anytime I'll become the Hulk. But Monday a week ago, I was down in one of the surgical centers where they embarrass you with a gown and a blue hat and a shot and all that stuff, and had some steroids in my back for pain. And it happens to be working, and it helps. I don't know how long it'll last, but I'll take whatever it is. But I'm looking forward to the day when I'll have a body like Jesus and won't have to worry about bulging discs and all those other things that come with, as much as I hate to say it, age. Amen. Yeah. You know, it just comes. But there are people who are in their 20s and 30s that are in pain today because they have cancer or they have some disease. I just heard about a dear missionary friend, he and his wife, that are home missionaries to the home missionaries to Spanish people here, and wonderful people. Just heard about his wife. Just got a notification that she has a very unusual, rare disease. It could happen about one in a million, and she happens, or one in 10 million, she happens to have it. And she is going to be in pain, the doctors say, and live with that until she dies, and it's going to kill her. Unless God intervenes, now God can do that. But thank God someday we won't have any more pain. You know, I can remember the days when I used to think about those old people that had so much medicine, you know, and I thought, man, all that medicine. And guess what? You ought to see my pantry now. I pull out my bowl of cereal and I pull out my bowl of pills. And I take the two for the high blood pressure. And I didn't have high blood pressure when I came to this church. I don't know if that's significant or not. And one for cholesterol, and a couple of Carolyn has added in there because she doesn't want me to age too fast. And I don't know what all it is. Fish oil and cod liver oil. I don't know what all. But thank God we won't have to fool with all that, will we? And there won't be any more tears, no more disappointments, no more heartaches, no more sadness, no more death. No more death. No more death. I don't enjoy funerals as such. I do have a sweet peace about preaching the funeral of a godly man or woman. And that is entirely different from those that you don't know. You ought to try preaching a funeral of somebody that the family didn't think they were saved and they took their own life, committed suicide. Now that's tough. But thank God one of these days will be no more death, no more of that junk. No more of the kind of society we have. You hear what these kids are doing now, talking about pills? They raid their parents' pills. They take pain pills and this pill and tranquilizers and all that kind of stuff. And they all the kids bring them, get their grandparents or their parents' pills, some of them anyway, and they all bring them and throw them in a big bowl and shake them up, mix them up. And then the first teenager grabs a handful and just takes them. And then the next one will grab a handful and then they party if they live. And all that. Isn't that crazy? We won't have any more of that kind of junk in our society. It's a wonderful, prepared, perfect, populated, prosperous place. How can a sinner go to heaven? Well, there's only one way. And Jesus tells us that. He said, where I'm going, whether I go, you know, verse 4, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. We don't quite understand. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. He didn't say, I am one of the ways, or I am a way. He said, I am the way. Amen. That's why Muslims, unless they get saved, are going to die and go to hell. That's why Hindus are going to die and go to hell unless they get saved. That's why Buddhists are going to die and go to hell unless they get saved. That's why those who are members of the cults, I don't care how sincere they are, if they don't come to Christ, they're not going to heaven. Or Jesus was a liar and Jesus didn't lie. He's the Son of God. There's one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Sorry. I don't care how sincere they are. And even those who have never heard of Christ, they still have to come through Christ to go to heaven. That's why we believe in missions. Amen. Yes. They have to hear about Jesus in order to go to heaven. And some of them hadn't heard. And we have our missionary that is visiting today, Brother Jones and others, who've carried the gospel in our 120-plus missionaries and 21 member missionaries that believe in carrying the gospel to people, because there's only one way. If ignorance were a savior, burn the Bibles, throw them in the trash, get rid of the knowledge of God, all become atheists and would all go to heaven. Amen? That's not going to happen. They have to be saved. They have to come through the door. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's it. It is exclusively through Jesus Christ. Does that mean we hate those other people? No. It just means we need to see them get saved. I'm visiting right now, occasionally, two different Muslims. And they're wrong about what they are believing. And I'd love to be able to win them to Christ. I'm telling them that He's the only way. That He's the only way. So, these are just some things that Jesus is telling Peter and those disciples and us today. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then he must go to reveal the Father to them. He's got to go to heaven in order to reveal all these things. Look at verse 7. He says, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. If you'd known me, you'd know my Father. and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. We'd like to see the Father. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and you disciples, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Now he says, I am the Father one. Do you want to know what God's like? Do you really want to know what the Father's like? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what the Father's like. Why? Why do you say read those? They tell us about the life of Christ. The synoptic, synonymous optic, alike, looking alike, Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then John on the top of that, they tell us who Jesus was and what Jesus did. How did he act? What did he do? How did he act to sin? He condemned it. That's what the Father would do. Did Jesus ever get angry? Yes. Did he overthrow the tables in the temple? Yes. Will God the Father ever be angry? Oh, yes. He's going to judge this world in his wrath someday. Jesus got angry like the Father, but he did not sin. And Jesus put a premium on holiness. And he put a premium on love. And he shows that the Father is love. Who would give his life like Jesus did, a sacrifice for us? He's just like the Father. He is the express image of the Father. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us this. God, who at sundry times and in different or divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's what he did in the Old Testament. Elijah, I'll be preaching on him this morning. The rapture of Elijah, Elisha, all of that. In time past unto the fathers, hath in these last days spoken unto us, how? By his Son, capital S, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, to whom he also made the worlds. Listen to this language. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The exact expression of the character of the Father is what Jesus was. The express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Thank God for that. He says, I've got to go away, verse 12, to grant us wonderful privileges, so we could do more than he did. What do you mean, preacher? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And he's not talking about miracles here. That's not what he's talking about. And I really don't have time to develop that, but you'll just have to take my word and study it out for yourself. He's not talking about the miracles. We keep it in context and study it further. But what he's saying, greater works than these shall he do. And nobody can raise the dead and so on and so forth. But because I go unto my Father, I've got to go away, Peter. I've got to go away. I have to go away, Philip. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to my Father. Because I go to my Father, you're going to be able to do greater works. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's talking about having faith. And then he's talking about also the greater works, and that is that the Holy Spirit was going to come. I've got to go to the Father so you can do greater works. How's that going to happen? Well, after Jesus was raised, there were, of course, the apostles, and then the 500. And then he told them to go into the upper room and stay and tarry until the Holy Spirit came. He's a person who came. And then after that, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. How many people got saved that first day? 3,000. And probably in the whole 3.5 years of the life of Christ, that would be difficult on any given day to have found that 3,000 got saved in his ministry. Greater works are we going to do? We have the Holy Spirit to help us. We have him as our divine paraclete, the one who comes up by our side. And he said, I've got to go. In verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another just like me, another the same kind. Not just another of a different kind, but another just like me, a comforter. And that means he was a person, a comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. How's that? Through the Holy Spirit. Just like me, I'm going to come. I got to go away, but you've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And the Holy Spirit is going to empower you, and he's going to open up the great things that can be done. 3,000 saved, then 5,000, and then they just kept adding to the church, and then they got to where they had to multiply. And they said, we have multitudes. And so we go and do the work through the power of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the divine comforter who abides and dwells, comforts, teaches us, by the way, he's the greatest teacher, and reminds us of many things. Verse 26, the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. And then he said, peace I leave with you. That's what he wants us to have, folks. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. That's a pseudo peace. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. We have every reason to be happy and to know that God has granted us peace through the presence of the Holy Spirit and the promise that he's coming again. And we're sealed, safe, secure. And folks, we have problems, but really, we don't have any problems. Because the final chapter is it. Amen. Brother Bill Plumley was saying to me the other day, he said something like this, it's a win-win situation. Yeah. That it is. Amen? Yeah. If you go into surgery and don't come out, it's a win situation. If you do, you go back home with your loved ones, you still win. Either way, we win. We win. We're going to heaven. Let not your hearts be troubled. The joy of the Lord. My peace I leave with you. Father, thank you for the glorious, marvelous, wonderful Word of God that tells us these truths. Thank you that we have it here. We believe it here. We read it. We're reminded of the truths. Now help us to live them out. For your glory in Christ's name, amen.